You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
Jesus wants his church to be a place to refuel, to recharge, to revive. He wants it to be a place of revelation. Say it out loud, a place of what? Revelation. A place to come and hear and see and understand more about Jesus. He wants his church to be a place where we come and we can connect with him. As we cling to the simple truth.
God desires his church to be more than just a place we attend. It's meant to be a place where we refuel, recharge, and revive our hearts. He invites us into his presence so we can experience him more deeply. Today, Pastor Dion teaches you that the church is a place of revelation, where you come to hear, see, and understand more about Jesus. It's where connection happens, not just with others, but with Christ himself. And you're invited to draw near and experience him like never before. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Revelation chapter 1 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
I was reading a while back through an article of Johnson & Johnson Corporation. The Johnson & Johnson Corporation manufacture rectal thermometers. They do. And in the package, there is a little manual on how to use that particular rectal thermometer. And if you read it all the way down in very small letters on the bottom, it says, each rectal thermometer that Johnson & Johnson produces is personally tested and then sanitized. You think your job's a pain in the butt? So you might think it's your job that's giving you a backache, a neckache, a headache. You might think it's your job, guys, or maybe it's the bed that you sleep on or the shoes that you wear. You're blaming that. Well, Mayo Clinic says it's probably your posture. Most often our pain in the neck or stressed back is not from everyday circumstances. It comes from how we're standing in everyday circumstances. The Mayo Clinic had several suggestions for your physical posture. But here we just read, John shares some advice on our spiritual posture. Here's what he says, stop slouching. Now, there are a variety of things in life that can cause us to drop our head and drop our shoulders. I mean, whether it's being diagnosed with a serious illness, that'll drop your head and your shoulders. Maybe it's losing our job or separation and divorce or a prodigal child or a financial crisis or the death of a loved one. Maybe it's persecution or rejection or loneliness or fear or doubt or sin. These things can cause us to lose hope, to be discouraged, to be depressed, to slouch. Those kind of things make us slouch. Well, John here tells us that he understands and identifies with what we go through. He says, I'm your companion in tribulation. He's saying, I feel your pain. But he also says, but remember who you are in the kingdom. So he said this, straighten up. The Apostle Paul was transparent about the circumstances and attacks that he faced. He never tried to sugarcoat the persecution that Christians will endure. He never tried to sugarcoat it or the persecution that they're going to go through. In fact, he said this to Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will... There it is. He never sugarcoated. He said it's going to happen. Paul also wrote about his own personal hardships, things that tried to make him slouch. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what it says. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we stand strong and don't give up. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. When the circumstances around you escalate, when the storm and the chaos suddenly overwhelm you, straighten up, stand strong, he says, because you are loved. Paul explained it like this to his congregation in Rome. Romans chapter 8, this I want you to read along with me. Here's what it says. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Everybody out loud? No. Despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are God's kids. We're His children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If God is for us, and we've said this many times, who can be against us? So stop slouching. Straighten up. Recognize. That's what He's telling us. Straighten up. And here's the next one. Open up. Reach out. Come on. Just stretch out your arms. Don't worry about your neighbor. Go ahead. Reach out. Oh, just like that. There you go. Mayo Clinic suggests that if we want to better our posture, if we want to relieve some strain and tension, we should stretch out, open up our chest and arms. It looks like worship, doesn't it? And that's what John says he was doing. Let's read it, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, I want to pause right here. Here's what John has told us. I got an aha moment on the Isle of Patmos. I was awakened, alerted to something. I saw something I had never seen before. Jesus disclosed something to me. But before I share it with you, he says, I want you to remember who Jesus is, because, I'm going to show you the beginning and the new. And he says, so we know Jesus as teacher and preacher. We know him as Savior. We know him as a resurrected Christ. We know him as the one who has sent us and filled us with the Holy Spirit. We know him as the one who is going to come for us again in the clouds. We know that he's the one who loves us, who forgave us, who transformed us, who filled us with his Spirit. We know that he's the one who will come back in the clouds and catch us away. We know that. And he says, and guys, what we're doing in the middle of that is working on our posture. And the things that we have to do is stop slouching, not letting doubt or difficulty or discouragement or the hurts and the pains and the circumstances of life and the persecutions make us slouch. We have to straighten up. We have to straighten ourselves because we're God's kids. He's got our back. He is going to take care of us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we also have to open up and worship. That's the idea. I got to open up so my posture is made better. I've got to open up. John was in prison in a labor camp, mining volcanic rock. He was sentenced to death for his faith. Yet John never let a Sunday, the Lord's Day, he never let a Sunday go by without opening up and honoring the Lord. He never let one of those days go by without being in the Spirit. Now, being in the Spirit, guys, doesn't mean some mystical trance. When he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it was not a mystical trance or a dream. It wasn't that he was out of reality. John was simply exercising a spiritual discipline. He was in the moment of worship. Everybody say, in the moment. He was in the moment. Guys, church should be a place where we are in the moment of spiritual focus and godly exercise. It should be the place where we're opening up. Church should be that. I'll say it again. Church should be a place where we are in the moment of spiritual focus and godly exercise. You see, it was on Sunday, the Lord's Day, that Jesus resurrected. And for a month of Sundays before Jesus ascended to his Father, Jesus visited his disciples, or what we would call the early church. Yeah, if you didn't know that, Jesus resurrected from the dead. He stayed on earth 40 days. So a month of Sundays, and the scriptures talk about he met with his disciples every Lord's Day, every Sunday, he came to where they were meeting. Isn't that pretty cool? So listen, guys. John tells us, in fact, in his gospel, he tells us what happened at one of those assemblies after Jesus is resurrected and he kept visiting them. John tells us what happened at one of those assemblies. Here it is, John chapter 20. Read it with me. Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said, and he spoke. He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy. And when they saw the Lord again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I love it. Jesus wants his church, our gathering place, to be a place that we can worship and we can listen and we can learn and we can grow. Jesus wants his church to be a place to refuel, to recharge, to revive. He wants it to be a place of revelation. Say it out loud, a place of what? Revelation. A place to come and hear and see and understand more about Jesus. He wants his church to be a place where we come and we can connect with him. The church is supposed to be a place of spiritual therapy to remedy our bad habits, our waddling spiritual walk, or our slouching posture. If your walk has been a little funny, you know, your spiritual walk with the Lord. If your spiritual walk has been a little funny, if your posture has been slouchy, you're in the right place. I don't know about you, but from time to time, depending upon what our circumstances are, we have the tendency of slouching. And then that slouching affects our walk. You ever notice that? And he's saying, listen, I don't want you to remain slouchy. I want you to straighten up. I want you to open up. And church is the place where that happens. In fact, here's what he says. I mean, here's the way I say it. Jesus is the surgeon that heals our sick, broken, and diseased situations. The Holy Spirit is the physical therapist that helps us get back into proper working order. And the Lord's Day at church is where all of that happens. No wonder the pastor of the Hebrews told his congregation to stay plugged into church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, read it with me. Here's what he said. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. So John wrote this. He says, while I was working on my posture, while all of us have come to church and we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day and we're working on the posture, I happen to be on the Isle of Patmos. Not a Sunday goes by without me opening up to the Lord. And while I was there in the moment, worshiping, focused on the Lord, Jesus showed up and gave me a revelation, an aha moment, an eye-opening experience. The Jesus I knew, John says. You know, the meek, the humble, the gentle servant. Oh, he changed his Facebook status and added a new profile pic. Look at verse 12. Here's what it says. Read it with me. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, everybody, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead. But he laid his right hand on me, he says, and saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Out loud with me. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. We'll stop there. So John says, the Jesus that we knew, the one I just told you, hey, we all identify with, he showed up. I had an aha moment, a brand new eye-opening experience. He said, I saw Jesus looking like a victorious. Jesus was dressed like a victorious king. No more babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. No more Nazarene carpenter draped with an apron. No more resurrected Christ looking like a gardener. Remember, Mary thought it was a gardener? Not anymore. Jesus stood before John dressed in royalty and displaying his trophies. Everybody say the word, his what? The trophies. Jesus announced, I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus defeated hell and death. They are no longer a threat. You know, bullying is defined as an aggressive behavior that intimidates, manipulates, and injures people. It teases, it threatens, it terrorizes, and tortures. That's what bullying does. And the world's worst bullies were death and hell. Hey, they are. Death and hell are eternal. What's talked about here is eternal separation and judgment. And those two things are bullies. Since the day of Adam and Eve, since the day they sinned, hell and death have been bullying, threatening, and terrorizing mankind. And man has no power to stop them. Now, guys, while no one would ever doubt the bully of death, many have tried to ignore, deny, and dismiss hell. Well, it's really just figurative, isn't it? It's allegorical. Well, guys, Jesus spoke of hell as a real place, a geographical location. Jesus never spoke of hell in an allegorical term. He spoke of it as a real place with a real devil for real rebels. And everybody can use the Northern New Mexico statement, it's for reals. Everybody say it. It's for reals, man. And listen, hell isn't the party that AC/DC said it's gonna be. Nor is hell the quick incineration and annihilation that the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that it is.
No way. Hell is an eternal place of everlasting torment. Jesus said it this way, where the maggot never dies and the fire is never quenched. He's talking about internal and external pain. He also said it's eternal. It's like that song, The Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Guys, hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. Man has to choose to go to hell. Has to make a definite distinction decision. In fact, here's an illustration. In Chicago, there is a popular nightclub called The Gates of Hell. It was like Reds. Anyhow, I'm sure the devil frequents it occasionally. Yeah, The Gates of Hell. Well, there was a man visiting Chicago, and he was trying to find this particular nightclub, The Gates of Hell. And he was on the right street, but just hadn't come across it. Guys, on the same street is Calvary Church, just a block before The Gates of Hell. So when the man pulled in for directions, a guy told him, you have to pass Calvary to get to the gates of hell. That's the truth. Not only with that physical location, but with this spiritual location. You can't get to hell without passing and rejecting Calvary. In fact, here's the last verse. Here's what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Wow. God had no intention of sending mankind to that eternal damnation. In fact, he still doesn't. Man chooses to go there by himself. As a rebel, denying God, denying his salvation, denying Calvary. But guys, Jesus says, I have the keys. And here's the beauty of this picture. Keys unlock, but keys also lock. Jesus is the one with the keys to unlock death and hell. What he's saying is, Paul said it best. He says, hey, listen, now that Jesus has the keys and we believe in him, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Ha ha, you don't have it. But for those who reject, Jesus has the same keys that unlock to lock a person into eternal damnation, because that's what they choose. He's a holy and just God, and he gives us every opportunity possible while we are alive to come to him and surrender our life to him. He flashes Calvary before us again and again and again. And the only way you can get to hell is that you keep passing Calvary. As we cling to the simple,
this has been The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova. Pastor Dion's been teaching through the book of Revelation, which is the final book of the Bible. The climax of this book is the Battle of Armageddon, where the nations of the world will engage in a terrible conflict. However, Jesus will return during that battle and put an end to conflict and war with nothing more than his word. Sin has had enough time in this world to wage war and turn people against each other, and the Lord is returning to establish justice and order once again. God's ultimate goal has always been to restore this world to what it was when he first created it. And the second coming will be the culmination of all the tribulation and judgment that the world has faced to that point. Are you ready for Jesus' return? If not, we'd love to share some encouraging words with you. You can call us at 505-753-4363, and one of our staff members would love to get connected with you and pray with you. Once again, that number is 505-753-4363. We also have an archive of past messages from Pastor Dion available on our website at tmcalvary.com. If you're in Española, New Mexico, and you're looking for a local church, you'll find information about our services on our website. Once more, just go to tmcalvary.com to get all the details. We believe that Jesus is coming back soon, so we'd like to thank you for joining us as we prepare for his return here on The Simple Truth.
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.